some old pity pool. You think you got a ticket, and I must be some kind of fool. I hate to steal your thunder, but your playing days are through. At least they are for me, cause babe, I ain't got no use for you. Tonight laying on the street, babe, your bag is packed, so take it back.
Take it back.
Oh, take it back.
Entertainment you want, the information you need. Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Plum City, Elkmount, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand, Real Country.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Vice President Kamala Harris got some help on the campaign trail Saturday night. Michelle Obama in Pennsylvania supporting the Democratic ticket at a Norristown area high school. On stage with the former First Lady, superstar Alicia Keys.
We believe every life has equal value. We want peace in our world and a healthy planet and a just society. And Kamala and Tim Walz assures me that this is what she believes and will work hard to fulfill.
Both candidates barnstorming in the final hours before Election Day. Former President Trump Saturday in Virginia.
I'm here today in this incredible Commonwealth for one very simple reason, because I believe we can win Virginia, and that would be unbelievable.
Our new ABC News Ipsos poll out this morning shows Harris with 49% support among likely voters in this final weekend, Trump with 46%, but the race razor close in the swing states. This is ABC News. A national restaurant chain filed for bankruptcy amid shifting consumer tastes and demand. ABC's Brian Clark has more.
The COVID-19 pandemic changed our dining habits, and TGI Friday says it also drove financial challenges that led it to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. At its 2008 peak, there were 601 Friday's restaurants doing $2 billion in business in the U.S. But last year, there were just 269 doing $728 million worth of business. The Dallas-based chain says it's looking for ways to ensure its long-term viability. Brian Clark, ABC News.
TGI Friday's restaurants will remain open as they file for bankruptcy. British prosecutors have received evidence from police on alleged sexual offenses by comedian Russell Brand. The Crown Prosecution Service now reviewing the case for potential charges. Brand, accused by multiple women, denies all allegations, claiming his relationships were consensual. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Getting ready for more rain and longer nights? We've got you. Right now, you can earn up to $25 in bonus rewards when you buy two Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Bulbs and two Rain-X Quantum Elite Wiper Blades. More rewards and better visibility at America's number one lighting destination, AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Offer valid for AutoZone Rewards members. Restrictions apply.
If you're not planning to come into Macy's this week, you're missing out. Because our friends and family sale is happening now. What does that mean? It means when you use your coupon or Macy's card, you can take an extra 30% off, just like friends and family can. That's 30% off the latest trends, 30% off new arrivals, 30% off the best brands. It's just this week, it's just what you've been waiting for, and it's only at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Election Day is fast approaching, and your vote in local elections is important. I am Deborah Fisher, and I am running for the Pepin County Register of Deeds. determined to serve the community of Pepin County, determined to put the taxpayers first, and determined to make a difference. I am running for this office as an independent candidate and would value your voice and your vote. Remember to get out and vote on Tuesday, November 5th, authorized and paid for on my behalf.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Rain and breezy conditions expected today. High temperatures warming to the lower 50s. That southeast wind up around 30 miles per hour. Possibility of some heavy rainfall tonight into your Sunday and Monday. Temperatures on the rise overnight. Explore your holiday getaway options in Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. Currently 44 degrees.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
You say you were wrong to ever leave me alone. And now you're sorry, you're lonesome and scared. And you say you'd be happy if you could just come back home. Well, here's a quarter. Call someone who cares. Call someone who'll listen and might give a damn. Maybe one of your sordid affairs. But don't you come around here handing me none of your lies. Here's a quarter. Call someone who cares. Never turn back. So you're leaving, caught me unaware. But the fact is, you're wrong, girl. That can't be undone. So here's a quarter. Call someone who cares. Call someone who listens. Yeah, might give a damn. Maybe one of
So when was the last time you actually saw and actually used a payphone? It's been a while. Here's a quarter. Call someone who cares. Travis Tritt, and it's Andrew J. Love with you on your Sunday. Gary Allen.
Life ain't always beautiful. Sometimes it's just plain hard. Life can knock you down. It can break your heart. Life ain't always beautiful. You think you're on your way, and it's just a dead end road at the end of the day. But the struggles make you stronger, and the changes make you wise. And happiness has its own way of taking its sweet time. No, life ain't always beautiful. Tears will fall sometimes. Life ain't always beautiful, but it's a beautiful ride. life ain't always beautiful. Some days I miss your smile. I get tired of walking all these lonely miles. And I wish for just 1 minute I could see your pretty face. Yes, I can dream, but life don't work that way. But the struggles made me stronger, and the changes make me wise. And happiness has its own way of taking its sweet time. It's a beautiful ride. What a beautiful ride.
I'm Susan Littlefield. Find out the latest market news with The Final Bell weekdays at 4:30 on Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN.
Oh yeah, there we go.
Some men are attracted to a pair of big blue eyes. It takes a pretty face to make their temperature rise. Looks aren't that important, just icing on the cake. What really turns me on is the shake. Shake it to the left, shake it to the right. Come on, baby, you know what I like. Shake it real funky, shake it real low. Shake it till you can't shake it no more. It's a natural attraction. Mother Nature wouldn't make a mistake. What really turns me on is the shake. He first said, Adam, which outfit do you like? The maple or the fig leaf? Now, honey, they both look nice. Clothes don't mean that much to me. Maybe you better go and ask the snake. Hey, what really turns me on is the shake. Shake it to the left, shake it to the right. Come on, baby, you know what I like. Shake it real funky, shake it real low. Shake it till you can't shake it no more. It's a natural attraction. Mother Nature wouldn't make a mistake. Really turns me on is the shake. Nature wouldn't make a mistake. And what really turns me on is the shake. So what really turns me on is the shake. The shake. Just the shake.
We're here for you 24-7. We're Real Country.
Real Country.
1430 AM and 107.3 FM. WRDN.
That beer ain't getting any colder, and I don't know who is waiting for. You keep checking over your shoulder like somebody's about to walk through the door. Yeah, I bet he's got a real good excuse, but right now I wouldn't want to be in his boots. I'm looking at what he's got to lose, sitting all tonight. Look, I ain't saying I'm an angel, baby. Tell no, I ain't to take you home to mama tight. And I ain't saying he's a bad guy. All I know is that guy must have up and lost his mind tonight. Cause you're down to the ice and that drink he didn't buy. I'm here and he's in my head. That ain't no kind of love. I ain't saying I'm the one. I'm just saying he's sure as hell ain't. He's sure as hell ain't. He's sure as hell ain't. Judging by the way you just smiled, I ain't telling you nothing you don't already know. He let you down, but is he upside? I can give you move on somewhere to go. I ain't trying to change that miss to a missus, but he don't know what he's missing, girl, listen. I ain't saying I'm an angel, baby, if you can't tell. No, I ain't to take you home to mama tight. And I ain't saying he's a bad guy. All I know is that guy must have up and lost his mind tonight. You're down to the ice and that drink he didn't buy. I'm here and he's in my head. That ain't no kind of love. I ain't saying I'm the one. I'm just saying he's sure as hell ain't. He's sure as hell ain't. He's sure as hell ain't. Yeah, I bet he's got a real good excuse, but right now I wouldn't want to be in his boots. I'm looking at what he's got to lose, sitting all alone tonight. I ain't saying I'm an angel, baby, if you can't tell. No, I ain't to take you home to mama tight. And I ain't saying he's a bad guy. All I know is that guy must have up and lost his mind tonight. Cause you're down to the ice and that drink he didn't buy. I'm here and he's in my head. That ain't no kind of love. I ain't saying I'm the one. I'm just saying he's sure as hell ain't. He's sure as hell ain't.
Jordan Davis, I ain't saying. Hi there, it's Andrew J. It's great to have you along, and thank you for making me part of your day today. Stand by for Jason Aldean coming up.
How do you measure the human spirit? In pounds? In milliliters? In the distance traveled between yesterday and today? Or maybe there's no way to measure the human spirit, because as you remind us every day, it simply has no limit. Learn more about how we care for your whole body, mind, and spirit at AdventHealth.com.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durant help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Building a new home or remodeling and need a new plumber? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a perk test or septic system? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need sewer line cleaning or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a new water heater or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. From basic plumbing to big projects, call Chris Bauer of Bauer Plumbing and Septic Service at 715-672-8224. That's 715-672-8224.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one,
The Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
I'm Paul Hamilton, your choice for state senate. Inflation is finally down, and although grocery prices remain high, farmers don't get paid more. The cost of living is more than groceries. Daycare, real estate tax, interest rates, housing, prescription drugs, insurance, tuition, all are cost of living. Meanwhile, stocks soar and somebody's making money. These costs are impacted by our state and federal legislature, and that's where we can make change. As your state senator, I'll work to improve school and municipal funding to save on your property taxes. I'll help improve access and reduce tuition for Wisconsin's 2- and 4-year colleges to build our homegrown workforce. I'll work to reduce the costs and improve access to daycare and housing. I'll bring federal taxes we pay back to Wisconsin to fund rural health care. And I'll fight to lower the cost of prescription drugs. I'm Paul Hamilton, and I approve this ad, paid for by the committee to elect Paul Hamilton.
Real country. Real country. 1430 AM, 107.3 FM.
Some days it's tough just getting up, throwing on these boots and making that climb. Some days I'd rather be an old show Lalo before I go out of my mind. But when she says, baby, oh, no matter what comes, ain't going nowhere. She runs her fingers through my hair and saves me. Yeah, that look in her eyes got me coming alive and driving. Come home fighting mad, feel like running my fist through the wall. Is it even worth what I'm fighting for anymore? Feeling torn, all the hell with it all. But when she says, baby, oh, no matter what comes, ain't going nowhere. She runs her fingers through my hair and saves me. Coming alive and driving me a good kind of crazy. When she says, baby, everything gonna be alright. Just lay down by my side. Let me love you through this life. Yeah, she's a perfect shot of faith. Every bit of mine is gone. Something I can believe in, a best friend, a heaven sent love to lean on. But when she says, baby, oh, no matter what comes, ain't going nowhere. She runs her fingers through my hair and saves me. Yeah, that look in her eyes got me coming alive and driving me a good kind of crazy.
Nonprofit event you'd like to mention? Email the information 2 weeks in advance to wrdn1430@gmail.com.
Sometimes she runs, sometimes she don't. More than once she's left me on the side of the road. The older she gets, the slower we go. But there ain't nothing wrong with the radio. She needs a carburetor, a set of plug wires. She's riding me around on 4-ball tires. The wipers don't work anymore. something wrong with the radio.
Plum City Wolves. From all of us at Rio Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. WRDN.
I am not okay. I'm barely getting by. I'm losing track of days. Losing sleep at night. I am not okay. I'm hanging on the rails. So if I say I'm fine, just know I learned to hide it well. I know I can't be the only one who's holding on for dear life. But God knows, I know when it's all said and done, I'm not okay. But it's all gonna be alright. It's not okay, but we're all gonna be alright. I woke up today, I almost stayed in bed. Had the devil on my back and voices in my head. Some days it ain't all bad. Some days it all gets worse. Some days I swear I'm better off laying in that dirt. I know I can't be the only one who's holding on for dear life. But God knows, I know when it's all said. Not okay, but it's all gonna be alright. It's not okay, but we're all gonna be alright. Gonna be alright. Gonna be alright. I know one day we'll see the other side. The pain will wash away in a holy water tide, and we all gonna be alright. I know I can't be the only one who's holding on for dear life. But God knows, I know when it's all said and done, I'm
but it's all gonna be alright. It's not okay, but we're all gonna be alright. I'm not okay, but it's all gonna be alright.
It's 8:30. You're listening to Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Time now for Strength for Today, a Bible teaching message and ministry from Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand.
Welcome to our WRDN radio audience. We're here at First Baptist of Durand, and we are in the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 4 this morning. Jonah chapter 4, so if you have a Bible and you'd like to follow along, we'd like to encourage you to get it. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 5. As we look at this portion of God's word this morning. Beginning with verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, doest thou well to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city, sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Father in heaven, we recognize that we need your help to understand this book. And we ask that the Spirit of the Lord, the tutor that sent to help the first century disciples, would also help us now as we peer into this matchless book, which tells us about you and how to live for Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have an unusual topic as we're looking at an Old Testament book. Because we're dealing with a term that is very 21st century, and that is the term relapse. And as you see in the introduction here, relapse is returning to a habit that God took from you. And it is used in the medical profession of someone who is in a hospital that has been progressing well physically and then has a physical setback, maybe an infection. Or maybe another problem has cropped up that the doctors were not aware of. And so instead of moving forward, he's moving backward. And in a spiritual sense, it is being overcome by a besetting sin, a sin that it's like your Achilles heel. It's one that just troubles you. And Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all the people that were mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the greats that live by faith, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. So a besetting sin is a returning to a habit that God has taken from you. And it's moving backward instead of forward with God. So first of all, here we want to look at Roman numeral number 1. What was Jonah's besetting sin? What was Jonah's besetting sin? And the answer is a proud, unloving spirit. It was a proud, unloving spirit. Remember how this Jew was called from Galilee area to go to Assyria and announce judgment to come. He didn't want to have anything to do with the Assyrians. They were Gentiles. They were unclean. And so instead of going 700 miles northeast, he decided to go 1,900 miles west to a place called Tarshish. And en route, the ship he was on encountered a violent storm, and it was no accident. God sent that storm to get a hold of that prophet. And the Bible tells us here that the storm ceased when it was determined by Lot that Jonah was the reason for the storm. And the Bible tells us here that a great fish swallowed Jonah. And he was 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish. And he got things right with God. And the Bible says that the fish vomited him out. And he ended up in Joppa. And then he went on to Jerusalem to pay his vows as he said he would. But he had a proud, unloving spirit. He didn't want anything. He was a Jew. He's a self-righteous Jew. And so he goes. Now he goes through Nineveh and he preaches. And people hear and they come under conviction and they turn to the Lord. Not just one or two, but the whole city. And the Bible says that in verse 1, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Literally, it reads in the Hebrew, it was evil to Jonah, a great evil. And the word angry there means to blaze up. He didn't like this. They weren't part of the covenant. They weren't part of Abraham's descendants. And Jonah's message did not materialize the way he thought it would. And here he's preaching judgment, and guess what? Judgment didn't fall. His credibility drops. So he thinks in his own eyes, and so he thinks in the eyes of his peers. He had a false Jewish nationalism. And he was saddened that this superpower, which looked like a threat to Israel, was not going to be destroyed. And God's honor among other nations, he felt, was severely bruised. And other prophets, Hosea, Amos, they foretold that one day Assyria would come in and devastate Israel if Israel herself did not repent. So he was very, very displeased. Are you displeased with the way God works in your life? Are you displeased the way things have turned out? It's not according to your game plan. Are you displeased that He has given you or allowed certain losses in your life? Have you lost some of your health, a dream not come to pass, hope not materialized? What happens, we can get hot and we can blaze up against God and we can shake our fist at God. And basically that's what Jonah did. He was exceedingly displeased, and he was very, very angry. Not good. Not good to be. That's where the creature starts telling the Creator he knows better. That's dangerous, dangerous ground to be on. And Jonah himself was what? He was a monument of mercy, was he not? God forgave Jonah. He was a monument of mercy. Jonah received pardon, but he didn't want the people of Nineveh to receive pardon. Remember the parable of the unforgiving debtor? Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 18 very quickly. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus touched on this. Matthew chapter 18. Beginning with verse 23. Matthew 18. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And 10,000 talents is worth more than someone could earn in 15 years. All right. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Bible says, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, 100 denarii, or about 3 months' worth of wages. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me. The same words that were used when he needed the king's patience. And I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. A tormentor in the Old Testament, in the New Testament time here, was one who would elicit information by torture. It was used in jails, okay, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father also do unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So we have a king, and we have, he is over different provinces, and one of his deputies has gone into debt, owes him an exorbitant sum, probably because of taxation and monies that were not spent well. And the deputy pleads. He pleads for mercy, and the king gives it to him. But that same one who received mercy would not show mercy to another that came and asked the same of him. That's Jonah. Jonah is the elder brother in the story of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. Remember how the prodigal went out? The elder stayed home, crossed all his T's, dotted all his I's. And then when the prodigal did come home, the elder was very upset the way the father treated him. It's okay for us to receive mercy. It's okay for us to receive grace, but sometimes we're reluctant to extend that to other people here. You know, we are to walk in grace. We are to show grace to other people. And we are to show grace to ourselves when we mess up. Because we will mess up. No one is perfect, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jonah's besetting sin was a proud, unloving spirit, and he had a relapse. And I don't think we're using that term in a light way, because he endangered the life of an entire crew, a ship with the captain and the sailors on board, as well as his own life. And then God forgives him, he restores him, he uses him, and now Jonah relapses back into an unloving, unkind, harsh, proud spirit. It's what you would call not a sin of the flesh, but a sin of the spirit. So he had a serious relapse. Now, as we look at this, he begins to argue with God in verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord, and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? He says, I knew that this is going to happen. I know this much about you, God. And the Bible declares that God is a gracious God. He is a merciful God. Even going back to Exodus 34 and Exodus chapter 20, when the Ten Commandments are given. And it's, you know, God is not, the merciful God is not just found in the New Testament, but he's found in the Old Testament as well. And especially displays to the people of Nineveh. And Jonah is so upset, and he is so consumed by his nationalism and his patriotism. He says in verse 3, therefore now, Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life, For it is better for me to die than to live. What Roman numeral number 2 on our outline here, what does this cost us when we relapse? Well, it wounds our self-respect. Number 2, it grieves God. Number 3, it mars our testimony. And number 4, it curtails our usefulness for God. You know what Noah should have been doing? He should have been organizing Bible studies. He should have been organizing classes for new converts so they could understand who this God of Israel is. He should have been discipling these new believers. But instead, what does he do? The Bible says in verse 5, he goes out of the city, he sits on the east side of the city, and there he made himself a booth, a sukkoth. They have the Feast of Sukkoth, or the Feast of Tabernacles, at the end of the agricultural cycle, and they celebrate God's goodness to them. Here, he makes a booth out of branches and leaves, and he's outside of the city. Maybe God's going to destroy the city after all, and he doesn't want to be a part of it. He made himself a booth, and he's sulking. And doesn't it sound a little bit like Elijah when things didn't turn out with him and Jezebel and Ahab? He came to that point in his life where God, I thought my ministry was going good and I was a success, but now I'm a failure. There's still Baal worship. He says, take my life, it's over. And my friend, that's what happens when we turn away from the light and we turn toward the darkness. What does it cost us? It costs us plenty. Now, what happened to this guy? He's a guy that knows God. He's a guy that has been used of the Lord. What happened to him? Roman numeral number 3. Why do we fail? Why do we fail? We fail because we believe the accuser's lies. You know, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 talks about our adversary, the devil. The word devil comes from two words, a preposition dia. We get our word diameter from that, the distance across a circle. Dia, across, and balo, to throw. And so what he does is he casts across toward us accusations and lies about God. And he wants us to believe that. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 says, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The scripture says, he lies to us about God. Now listen, if you've got a besetting sin, and you may have said to God, God, I've been reading my Bible. God, I've been going to church. God, I've been trying to memorize Scripture. God, I've been praying, but I just cannot shake loose of this particular sin. God, something's wrong here. Your word doesn't work, and prayer doesn't work. And fellowship with other believers isn't helping me. And my friend, that is believing the devil's lie. The Bible does work. Memorizing God's word and hiding it in your heart does work. Prayer does work. Fellowshipping with other believers does work and helps keep you and me from sin. But when we start to believe the devil's lie, we say, well, God, the problem is, it's not that God isn't working, it's that you're not working the way God wanted you to work. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is, this new life that you have now with fear and trembling, see how it fits into your everyday routine. And to be quite honest with you, it is a trial and error effort. We try some things and we fall flat on our face, and we try other things and we find out the door is wide open for us. But it's not God who fails us. And it's not His Word that fails us. How many people have said, God, Oh, I prayed that prayer to receive Christ into my life. And nothing, well, there was a little change, but, you know, nothing permanent. And then I fell back into my old habits, whatever it might be. There's no help for me. Yes, there is help, because the Bible declares in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This new life is not a myth. But I'll tell you this. It was MacArthur that said this. This new life is not sustainable in human effort. Let me repeat that. This new life is not sustainable in human effort. You cannot maintain the standards of this book or live this way. It takes grace, and it takes God's supernatural help. And that's why we are here this morning. We are as beggars coming to the throne of the King of Kings. And we understand, well, we can't do this thing on our own. And you have friends, I have friends, you know people, and I know people that bite the bullet, and their marriages end in divorce, their lives end in suicide, their lives end in addiction, or whatever you might say. Hey, this battle is real. Amen. It is real, and the fatalities are real. But you cannot live this life. It cannot be sustained in your own human effort. You need to look to the Lord, and you need to continue to try, and you need to continue to work. So we don't want to. We need to be wise enough. Listen, there's no better liar. You might say, well, I know a few politicians. Forget that. There's no better liar than Satan himself. And he is so crafty. The Bible talks about his wiles. It talks about his plots. It talks about his schemes to get in and ruin our life. So we want to, it says, why do we fail? We choose to believe the accuser's lies. And then number two, we fail to trust in God. We fail to trust in God. God will bring us through if we keep our eyes on Him. God will bring us through. And Jonah took his eyes off of the Lord, the God of the Bible, and replaced Him with a shallow type of legalism. And that legalism surfaced in a big way in the New Testament in the sect called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they had the shell of appearance, but they didn't have the life that comes from connecting with God. And you know what happens? When you just go through the motions of praying or coming to service or talking about God and your heart is not in it, you miss the most basic requirement, and that is having a vital relationship with Jesus Christ Himself. And what happens is you do not have the number one quality that God wants you to have, and that is a love for Him and a love for your fellow man. And Jonah lacked both of those as he went his own way and as he did his own thing. We've got to believe God. We fail to trust in God. Okay, number four. How can we prevent this from happening? Well, first of all, we can keep a battle log. We can keep a battle log, either mentally or physically. We have Annapolis. We have West Point. We have Colorado Springs. These are military academies. And you know what? Our choice young men go to these academies, and they learn and they learn and they learn tactics. They learn how to fight. They learn how to win in battles. And if you've walked with the Lord for a period of time, you've been through a series of battles, spiritual battles, big battles. My friend, don't forget those lessons that God has shown you. Keep a backlog, if you would. That's what the War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania does, is it trains our Army officers, as it does other military officers and other branches of the service. We've got to learn to be alert, and we've got to learn to be vigilant. And Jonah dropped the ball here. He dropped the ball big time. Keep a battle log, either mentally or physically. And number two, pray for wisdom and pray for strength. Pray for wisdom and strength. Again, I cannot overemphasize how crafty our adversary is. And here is a choice man of God who buys into a proud, unloving spirit. Over 100,000, perhaps 400,000 people profess faith and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jonah fell back into a proud, unloving spirit. And he's sitting outside the city, sulking, because things did not go his way when he should have been inside that city organizing new believers' classes, helping these people spiritually. He's narcissistic enough to think only of himself. Pray for wisdom and pray for strength. The psalmist said, "The Lord is the strength of my life." We need God's strength to sustain this life. It cannot be sustained any other way. And then review. Number three under Roman numeral number four. Review what God has shown you. Doesn't Matthew 13 tell us about the seed that falls on the hard ground? You know, when the gospel is sown, and what happens on the seed on the hard ground? Right away, the devil comes and he picks that seed up and he snatches it away. All right, he does the same thing for spiritual lessons that God shows you and God shows me. He wants us to forget that as soon as possible. And guess what? You know, we step in that same old pothole time and time and time again. Why did I lose my temper? Why did I say that? Why did I make a commitment that way? We've got to review what God has shown us. So here, as we finish this up, we have a prophet that had a relapse. And this is a serious condition, physically, mentally, but also spiritually. And his besetting sin was a proud, unloving spirit. What did it cost him? His self-respect, grieved God, his usefulness. Why did he fail? Because he bought into the devil's lie that there's no hope. He bought into the devil's lie that these things that God says don't really work. Yes, they do work, and he saw them work. And how can we prevent it? Keep a battle log. Pray for wisdom. Review what God has shown you. And in conclusion here, walking in victory is the sweetest experience of a believer on earth. Amen? I mean, there's nothing better than that. There's nothing more exhilarating than that, walking in the sunshine, walking in the Spirit. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God wants us to be overcomers here and now. Now, we're not talking about sinless perfection, but he is talking about success that we will have in our struggle against sin and walking in the light. It's a promise. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. It seems so unusual to look at a topic like this from